Do you mind putting your phone away?
Why?
Because it kind of like vibrated.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me just fucking throw it away
But
and give you my undivided attention.
sorry.
Sorry, I'm such a cunt.
No, Grace, Jesus.
Cunt.
Hello and welcome to Jesus Wept, a podcast where we explore the oddities, obsessions, and minutiae of American evangelical
Stop making
Christianity.
Eye contact with me.
We're recording this in person for the first time. I'm Bowen Wong. I'm a writer and audio producer.
I'm Grace Gilbert. I'm uncomfortable.
And welcome to part two, the epic conclusion of the Ken Ham Creation Museum saga. So I know all you ham heads out there have just been gnashing at the teeth, wanting to know, ripping off your clothes, wanting to know what happens to Mr. Ham. Well, you are going to get it today, dear listener. So, Grace, what do you remember about Ken Ham and the Creation Museum from last time?
Oh my god. I remember Ken Ham's entire childhood.
Mm-hmm.
His father hated a lot of things.
Yes.
Including progress.
Mm-hmm.
There was a witchcraft incident, and then Ken Ham has not debated Bill Nye yet.
Not yet.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
But he has opened the Creation Museum.
Yes.
Yes.
And we are going to take you, listener, inside the Creation Museum right now. So this is based on notes that I took with my parents back in 2016, as well as a book called Writing America at the Creation Museum, which is a really great book, fantastic resource. If you want to read more and learn more, I recommend it. Driving to the Creation Museum, it's an extremely rural area. We pass by like these huge farms with barns, actually quite scenic. I also counted a total of 9 churches as we drove past.
Whoa.
from our hotel to
what
the museum.
What kind of churches?
I don't know. They were just passing by. I saw church buildings and I just wanted to make a note of it.
Okay.
So,
were they nice?
I have no idea.
Cool.
But I just noted them. And actually on the highway, there's like a sign pointing out which exit it is to the Creation Museum. Clearly it's the main attraction. When we got to the parking lot, I noticed that there are license plates from like Maryland, Florida, Alabama, you know, we're visiting from Pennsylvania. So, like, clearly, like, people are driving, like, a whole day all over the
Ugh,
country
I just,
to get
this
here.
Place just sounds like it smells like a wet bathing suit.
Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know, I'm just picturing, like, the signs pointing out an amusement park.
Yeah.
And anywhere where there's just, like, tons of people from across the Midwest and their gross children, and it always just smells like a yeast infection.
There's no water park, but there is a petting zoo.
Yeah, that's
so you're right.
Great.
Yeah. So the first thing when you walk into the museum, there's a big lobby which includes this diorama, which I will show you, Grace.
Okay, we've got a little girl who looks very modern.
Yeah.
Contemporary. Looks like she could live in Park Slope. And
what?
Then,
what are you?
She's like a little girl.
Like a sad gray.
Yeah,
sad
she's like
beige child.
She's not very Neanderthal. She's just kind of like she looks like her name. She's like Virginia from The Miracle on 34th Street.
Sure.
That's what she looks like.
Okay.
And then there are two dinosaurs immediately to her left, and she does not look scared in the least.
Mm-hmm.
She's just sitting amongst her peers, the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Actually, kind of smiling vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know something you don't know.
I fuck these dinosaurs.
Yeah, we're brother and sister.
Oh my.
It's like donkey and dragon.
Oh, yeah. Gross. I know you said she looks very modern, but she's supposed to be, like, from, like, how many thousands of years
ago? She's literally wearing, like, a smock dress from, like,
yeah,
Lord and Taylor. Like, I don't...
Lord and Taylor or
also,
from, like, thousands of years ago.
Also, she has bangs. I feel like people in...
People didn't have bangs?
I can't imagine them having bangs for some reason. Like, cave women, did they have bangs?
What haircuts did they have?
I don't know. I just, like, why does she look... She looks vaguely like Zooey Deschanel haircut. And I just feel like that's not a very prehistoric thing.
Okay.
Actually, prehistoric. I mean, 6,000 years, maybe that.
Is that
short enough amount of time for beings to evolve? But...
Sure, yeah. This is one of the central arguments of the Creation Museum, that humans and dinosaurs coexisted, because there was never a meteor or mass extinction event that killed all the dinosaurs, because, again, the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
They might have
coexisted,
like, sure, in their logic, but I don't think that they would be friendly enough for this young Zooey Deschanel to sit literally 3 feet from these dinosaurs.
Yeah, like, the thing about a saddle on one of the dinosaurs just Strikes me as very weird.
I mean, I've never seen a dinosaur.
True.
Just like I've
None of
never
us
seen
have.
the Twin Towers, you know? Are you
What
still.
a
Sorry,
comparison.
I don't know why I said
Yeah.
that.
And their explanation that dinosaurs don't exist anymore is that they just like died out somehow, which like
Like
sure.
when?
Just eventually. I don't know.
Okay.
But
And
yeah.
the Industrial Revolution
Sure,
couldn't
yeah. A
handle it.
couple hundred years ago. So you go through that little diorama. At the entrance to the main exhibit, there's a video playing on loop that says, "If you believe in evolution, prepare to have your faith shaken."
Ah.
All right, so are you ready, Grace, to go in
Yeah,
to the main exhibit?
I don't know. How much does it cost? As much as a
Oh
ticket?
my God. Oh, let's look it up. It was
Okay.
something insane.
Because I would be ready, but I honestly hate spending more than like $1 on it. This is why I like the Met where you can pay
Yeah,
what
we
you
paid a
want.
dollar.
Yeah.
$40
$40
for,
and for
no,
children.
45 for an adult, 40 for seniors, 25
Oh my
for
God.
youths. Holy
Youth. Youth is
shit.
aged 11 to 17. That's like.
Yeah.
Oh, they want children to come though.
But children under 10 are
Children under
free.
10.
That's how they
Yeah,
get
I would
you.
either, if I had to go to this when I was a child
Yeah.
and I was like 12, I would either be pretending I'm 10 or not going.
Yeah, you watch that little video, you go into the main exhibit, and there's a big sign that says, "Same facts, but different viewpoints, dot dot dot." Why? And then there are like a bunch of different artifacts, like, touch this actual dinosaur fossil. Is it thousands of years old or millions of years old? Here's a picture of the Grand Canyon. Was it formed by a global flood or over the course of millions of years?
Stroke this dinosaur pussy. Is.
How does it feel? Is it thousands or millions of years old? Here's a glass case full of finches, like the one Darwin studied in the Galapagos. Are these different species the result of God's creation over the course of 6 days, or from natural selection over millions of years? What do you think, Grace?
I just feel like if your child is there and you're like, did this bird happen immediately? Was it just born
Right.
magically, or did it evolve over millions of years? I feel like you just wouldn't understand that concept as a child
That's
yet.
true,
So
yeah.
like you'd probably easily be brainwashed to believe that.
That's why they want kids to
Yeah.
come, yeah.
Because it's like they're kind of presenting these, they're simplifying it into these things that, this is why we tell kids folk tales, you know?
Right, yeah.
But the funny thing is that their parents are probably like, yeah, that's true. Like, those six finches, that doesn't even make sense. They're here
Six
right
days,
now.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How would a kid be able to distinguish from any of this? And it's also like doing what that PBS clip was doing, like the objectivity of like, oh, we're just looking at the same physical evidence, but like we just have different interpretations of the same evidence. Like you think it's millions of years, I think it's thousands of years old. Who can say what the truth is? Like I said before, like these aren't two competing, equally
You
valid
don't think gay
theories.
people should die, and I do?
Right,
Coexist.
those are not
We're
two.
both at the McDonald's drive-thru.
One of us is just hating gay
Oh,
people.
yeah.
These artifacts, like, they're all presented in the same way. Sometimes they have actual fossils and actual taxidermy animals. And then, like you said, they're animatronic children playing with dinosaurs. They're life-size models of, like,
Do they
Moses.
actually have fossils? Like,
They do.
real?
They have actual real fossils there mixed
Oh.
in with this ridiculous shit
Okay.
and models of like biblical figures like Paul and David, who are all
Oh.
white. That is the opening section, but the museum really tips its hand about what it's doing when you walk through that opening room and enter Graffiti Alley.
Ooh,
And this
love
is
that. I
this
do
is
that every day when I go through the New York City subway system.
Rat
Those
Alley.
kids.
This is the area that I remember about the museum most vividly. Why don't you take a look at this photo, Grace?
Okay, so we've got a exposed brick wall, which is always nice. There are three planks of wood laid over a window like you would do when a hurricane is coming.
Yeah.
And it says, "Modern world abandons the Bible." And the color of the text is like the color of a firecracker popsicle.
Oh,
That's
that's
like
true. Yeah, it's
red,
red, white,
white,
and
and
blue.
blue.
Yeah.
And then there are a bunch of like newspaper clippings pasted
Yeah.
everywhere, including on the brick. And honestly, I have to say, it looks kind of sick. like an exposed brick wall with newspaper collage like right. all over it.
I that feel is
like
very Greenpoint.
Could make for a very Greenpoint cafe.
Totally, yeah. So you mentioned those news clippings. These are what the news clippings are about, if you want to read this.
Okay. Stem cell research. The terrorist attacks of 9/11. Euthanasia. Abortion. Gay teens. Islamic terrorism. Evolution. Gay marriage. School shootings. And the decline of Christian America.
Yes,
it's
very
exactly. slam poetry.
That was your poetry voice.
Yeah, it was.
Well done.
I have PTSD.
And also, on the PA system, there are sounds of sirens wailing and glass shattering.
Oh my god.
And this is really fucked up. You can't really see it in that photo, but pasted onto there are photos of actual missing children. You walk through this little diorama, and then there are these windows that you can look through that play like really grainy VHS quality videos on a loop. And here is the placard.
In this 7-minute video, the young boy in the background is on a killing spree on his video game. His older brother is trying to entice him into looking at internet pornography and using illegal drugs.
By the way, the older brother has a shirt that has a sad face, plus sign, can of beer, equal sign, happy face.
Okay.
So that's how you know.
So sick. I need that.
And he's rolling a joint.
Yeah,
of
all of the baristas at the Greenpoint Modern World Abandoned Bible Cafe will
right.
wear that shirt.
Totally. And they're all rolling joints
yeah.
and trying to entice their...
And giving them to children.
Yeah. And
yeah.
porn
yeah.
and drugs. Yeah. Every moral panic, kids are playing violent video games, doing drugs, watching porn, having sex, having abortions.
How old are these kids?
And being gay. I don't know. Like, kids. I think like... teens or younger, 13, 14?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
So they offer, like, you can either be the happy little, like,
oh,
sad
dinosaur.
Beige girl with bangs with the dinosaurs, or
right.
you can be, like, a fucking
absolutely
heroin
depraved.
Addict 12-year-old.
Yeah. Like, that is a good point. It's a completely black and white
yeah.
world that they're living in. There's no in between.
Your child is an angel or they're trans? Basically.
Oh my god.
They probably didn't even get into that.
Right. Oh no, definitely not.
Yeah, that's too depraved for their imagination.
That reminds me when I was in the Asian American Christian group, like there was some sort of like official crew statement on homosexuality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember a passage where the author was like, I'm focusing totally on homosexuality here. I'm not even going to get or touch transgenderism.
Yeah.
And
it was kind
like,
of a win for the trans community that people were that so far deep into, like, hell that I can't even think about it.
Yeah.
Then it's like, all right, cool. We get a little bit of, like, a 10-year break between when people started talking about trans people and
right.
then finally started talking about, like, codifying it.
it's like... I think we're at the point now where basically homophobia is, like, generally unacceptable.
Yeah.
But, like, transphobia still is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, of course, for Christians, it will never be, any of it will be acceptable. But, like, being...
I just wish they were still in their bewildered stage.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everyone had... This was my grandma's favorite thing. Sorry, Grandma, I love you. But,
yeah.
Like, when... They would talk about, they always had like one story, like, oh, my mom, my friend's coworker used to be Michael, and now they're Michelle.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had a story, but it was like kind of a sensationalized thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's taken over the world. And now they have all this discourse about it. And I'm like, no one was talking about the trans problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Even though obviously people were still hating trans people.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the bathroom stuff. Like, I remember, like, my parents' friend had a story about, like, oh, like, and then they changed the men's and women's bathrooms to gender-neutral bathrooms, and, like, but now to use the women's room, I have to walk up an extra 2 flights of stairs, but no one's allowed to complain about it because you would be being un-PC.
It's, like, probably one of the better bathroom stories I've heard, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure there
are
worse
ones. It's just, mostly they're, like... villainizing trans people and talking
yeah.
about how they're like assaulting other people.
Totally.
Not like,
yeah.
oh man, I'm a little inconvenienced.
Right. Honestly, yeah, that's not that bad.
Yeah. Obviously, the biggest problem is transphobia.
Right.
The next problem is the horrible lack of singles occupancy stalls in the United States. Like, there's every bathroom should be single occupancy.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you're at, like, a giant museum or something.
Right, yeah.
I just think as someone with IBS / horrible stomach problems, that's, like...
Yeah, and it's non-binary.
And, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm a thing that I'm
intersectional.
Sorry. I have to use the bathroom.
Right,
and then
yeah.
I'm like... Yeah, when I was teaching, I did that all the time.
Totally.
I'm like, I'm going to shit my brains out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm not sure if there are single occupancy bathrooms in the Creation Museum. Probably not.
No.
So,
they're
yeah.
That... like, this is for men. This is for women.
This is...
Not for sex-crazed teens.
This is... Yeah, there was... I guess at the time in 2007, like you were saying, there was no real discourse about trans teenagers.
Yeah.
Because it's not mentioned.
The only time I'd ever heard about trans people... Aside from my own, like, feelings and thoughts about it internally, was, like, the show Degrassi had a trans character in, like, 2009, maybe, 2010.
Yeah.
And I remember being, like, oh, Mom, I don't really understand. And my mom was, like, well, some people are born in the wrong body.
Yeah.
And that's, she kind of tried to describe it, but it, you know, obviously that's, like, outdated lingo now, but... That was the only time I'd ever seen a trans person on television.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like no one even wanted to touch that conversation for so long.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting seeing something like the Creation Museum, which was kind of built in that time, to not even like address the trans problem.
Yeah.
Which I'm just saying that in
the
like
trans
in
problem.
Very sarcastic quotation marks.
Yeah. Basically, the whole point of Graffiti Alley and all this moral panic is... to show that if evolution is taught in public schools and widely accepted to be true, moral and societal breakdown inevitably happens. And the antidote to this breakdown is creationism. And if creationism and a literal interpretation of the Bible are widely accepted, then we can have a harmonious and moral society. We can return to the Garden of Eden, essentially. Like, quite literally, in the museum. Like, we go forward and then get to the Garden of Eden. After the opening room, where it's like, ah, two equally valid but competing theories of viewing the same physical evidence. You get into Graffiti Alley, and it's like, okay, this is what this is actually about. It's not about science. Like, what is scientific about, like, in this video, kids are watching porn and playing violent video games, you know?
I feel like if... Since this man has so much money and power...
Ken Ham?
Yes.
Yeah.
This man. Ken Ham.
Ken Ham.
Ham the man.
Ham the man.
Ham and eggs. Ham and eggs had this much money and power.
Yeah.
He could have done... He could have been much more effective and, in our interpretation, dangerous if his message wasn't so singular.
What do you mean?
Like, his message is completely based around creationism... And I'm just thinking that if he expanded a little bit to just full force Christianity down your throat,
right.
He could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
And probably reached more Christian people, too.
He is maniacally, single-mindedly focused only on creationism.
This is his downfall,
know?
Though, because I just don't think with a message that singular and narrowed in, there's no way that... Even an entire sect of Christianity is going to fall for it a lot of the time.
Really? You think so?
Well, if you actually know what he's talking about, because when it comes down to it, though, I feel like there's going to be, like, doctrinal disagreements, even between, like, a really believing Christian and Ken Ham, you know?
But a lot of evangelicals do believe in creationism, you know?
That's true. They do. I feel like... Saying that that's the biggest issue. That's the reason why all these things are happening is just kind of too narrow a scope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do think you're right. That could definitely turn off a lot of people, I think.
Like,
but,
I'm giving people too much credit because I also think when I was a Christian and I saw someone like Ken Ham, I almost felt a twinge of hope, and it's so embarrassing for me to say, but only because I knew that a lot of this stuff was so, it's such magical thinking. It's all very magical and unreal, and there's no way you can ever back up any of these ideas.
Yeah.
And it's all about, like, how you feel, which is interesting based on today's discourse about, like, facts and feelings, but it is based on how you feel. That when someone was, like, trying to, like, defend things and it looks like a win, I'd be like, Oh, maybe there is like a little bit of hope that it's true, so then I don't have to fear death so bad.
What do you mean you don't have to fear death so
Like when
bad?
you believe in God and you, the people who believe in God and it gives you a sense of peace, hope, and like, oh, okay, I don't have to like worry about my life just ending and it's nothing. You
Yeah.
know, like I have this thing I can rely on, and also this thing where anything bad happens to me, it's all part of a story, and I have always have family that's more family than family. And no matter where I go, I'll have that, and I'll always have God. Like you have this, like it's like in a salve for your anxiety. And so when that's challenged to Christians, it can be like, oh, how dare they take that away from me? And so seeing somebody like Ken Ham do that, like present an argument back, you're like, oh, you know what I mean? And I'm really embarrassed to say that, but I'm growing up such an anxious person, and converting to Christianity to start believing in God helped me be less anxious in some broader ways and more anxious in some ways we'll get into later. But that was the main reason why I chose to believe in God in concept. And so then like having people constantly challenging that, you're like, oh, can I just have some peace and like believe in the thing that's like making me feel better, even though you like don't really imagine how much damage it's doing to you.
Ken Ham, and I think a lot of Christians are simultaneously providing a salve for anxiety, but also very much playing up it,
Oh,
like
of
which you can
course.
see with Graffiti Alley,
That's
right?
how they keep you there. They
Exactly,
say that your anxieties can all go away, and then they silently poke them like fire starters.
Like it's the threat of all of this awfulness. And so this actually is quite literal in the Creation Museum. You go through Graffiti Alley, you feel horrible, right? Because all this terrible stuff is happening. And you enter what's called the time tunnel, which is completely dark. What? It's
I
completely dark, except for these little pinpoints of light that are supposed to be like stars, I think.
don't know. Okay.
There's ethereal music playing. And then finally,
What do you
you.
mean by ethereal? Like jazz? I don't know.
Defiant jazz. No, it's like ambient music that's like, it's like warm. It's a
Oh,
salve
yeah,
for
like
your
if your soul
anxiety.
had floated away
Exactly.
into nothing in space.
It's making you feel really good, and you get through the time tunnel and you enter the 6-day theater. And there's a video, another video playing on loop that overlays nature footage with narration of the Book of Genesis.
By who?
I don't know, just some
Okay.
probably some very authoritative white man,
Or
you know.
voice actor
Sure, yeah.
at some
Maybe
rundown
it's Ken Ham
agency.
himself.
Yeah.
And I wrote this in my notes back in 2016. It feels like washing off all the scum from the alleyway.
That's it.
You feel
That's the
clean.
anxiety that you feel. You know what I mean? Do you feel that too, like when you were a Christian?
The anxiety
Yeah.
of.
Like the peace of knowing God or whatever, which is really just putting a lid on all of the fears of death and uncertainty.
I don't think I was a very anxious kid or like generally a very anxious person in general, but I think what feeling I did have was like a form of release
Right.
or like ecstasy or like the
Yeah.
retreat high or whatever. Like that's what people are seeking a lot from God, I think. Relief. Golf.
Gandalf.
Relief and also release,
I think
you
that's
know?
true, yeah. And a lot of that's just because people want community.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't ever blame, like I'm just imagining like a family going to this. I'm like, I don't blame you for wanting to have the peace that you found
Spending
confirmed.
$100 for
I
that
mean, you're
piece.
spending like literally, especially with inflation right now, it's probably even
I'm
worse than
pretty
it used to
sure.
be. No, I'm just trying to price the price of eggs these days. Imagine eating an egg breakfast and then going here, you'd be spending like $1 million. This is very
Yeah,
like
we
time
dated
sensitive,
ourselves
so
immediately,
yeah.
yeah.
Listening in a week, you'll be like, what? Eggs?
But anyway, like, you don't blame anyone.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone. So, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but these people are probably believing like really dangerous stuff that would want me or you dead, you know? So it's like, I can't have too much empathy, but I do have that like understanding that a lot of people just want to be less uncertain about stuff. And so they do crazy things like pay $50 to walk through a tunnel with defiant jazz.
And so you go through the tunnel, you go through the theater, you step out of the theater. It's bright and warm. There's also very like warm, calming music. Ooh, beautiful color
sounds
photos.
Like a cervix.
It's exactly like being inside the womb. There are beautiful color photos of the Earth, the solar system, like different plants, animals. On the walls, there are different CGI videos, including dust particles like swirl together and then congeal into the form of a human who's supposed to be Adam. And then he like opens his eyes and is like looking at his hands, being like, "What? What? Amazing!" You know, like
that's kind of cool.
He's white, by the way.
You know what sucks though? If you like materialized and you were like an adult and your life would already be like mostly over.
Oh, that's true.
You just die in like 20 years.
No, but they live for like 1,000 years old.
Oh, that's true. But you don't get to be a child. I feel like you miss out on so much.
That is
anyway,
actually
we don't need
weird.
To talk about the CGI. The theory of behind this, but...
And then, like I mentioned, after Adam is formed, you step into the Garden of Eden.
Uh-huh.
Like, a recreation of the Garden in Eden. It's very lush.
Is it turf?
I don't... As I mentioned, I noted that
I'm
it's
picturing
carpeted.
AstroTurf.
Probably AstroTurf.
Little beads everywhere.
There's fans blowing a breeze. It smells nice, which probably wouldn't have been the case.
How did they make it smell nice?
Probably anthropology candles. I'm not sure.
Probably, yeah.
And there are trees and animals everywhere. That's it. That is the main arc of
okay,
the creation
you basically
museum.
Just walked into an anthropology.
Except there's dinosaurs with saddles
okay,
on them.
Yeah.
The other half of the exhibit like basically repeats the same emotional arc. Like, that's all you need to know. We start with this pantomime of like scientific debate, but then we move into a demonstration of like, well, actually evolution leads to evil and violence, a complete breakdown of society, and you feel horrible and you're supposed to feel very
yeah.
anxious probably and afraid, but then you emerge from the brokenness to just like clean,
so would Adam
pure
have to
area
to
yeah.
masturbate if he just materialized?
Wait, what do you mean?
I just, like, these are all these things you have as kids, you learn all these things throughout your life.
Right.
You're like, oh, you figure out how to masturbate, and
right.
then you're embarrassed about it, and you
right.
don't tell any of your friends. Then, but suddenly later in life, you talk about it, and everyone started using the shower head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he would have been an adult, so then, like...
Does he know what masturbating
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's, like, horrible to have to go through all that shit when you're an adult.
You're thinking about this a
I'm
lot.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking about, like, how they present heaven and these, like, reborn ideals as something you should look forward to, and really, if you think about it too hard, it's, like,
a
this
little bit
seems
horrifying.
Horrible. Like,
yeah.
you're, they're like, oh, you're in robes and you're praising God forever, and I'm like, forever?
Yeah.
Like, you can't even just, like, stop and read a book or, like, go to a Starbucks. So, like, I can't imagine how boring that would be. I'd be
well,
so bored.
That also, like, so is masturbation a sin, though? I think most Christians
I mean, probably.
Would say
I know,
yes,
but, like,
right?
doesn't mean people don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, Adam would still figure out, like, he would, is he born with any knowledge? Maybe he wouldn't know.
These are all questions that the Creation Museum and the Book of Genesis
they just hired
answer.
Some sad... post-MFA animator to make this CGI video of
Cal
Adam.
Arts, $100,000
Don't
in
even
debt.
Get me started on
yeah.
this. Anyway, continue.
We don't need to talk about Adam knowing whether or not he knows how to masturbate after being materialized
I
as
just
a 30-year-old
for him,
white man.
Okay.
Anyway.
I feel like all 30-year-old white men are just materialized and
right,
just act
yeah.
like they were.
Act like they're babies.
Act like they were just like pulled out of thin air.
I remember after going through the main exhibit, my mom said, it felt like a Disney World ride, which I think is a
yeah.
good point because it's not a museum. It's not a science museum. It's
no.
an experience,
yeah.
you know? Like, and
it's
what...
just an American shopping mall.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just, like, when you go to the mall and it's Christmas time,
uh-huh.
that's what I'm picturing.
It's
like
an experience.
A Santa whose mouth is moving weird who keeps like, oh, hey. And, like, trains and, like,
right.
all the stores have decorations and it smells really intense when you walk past Bath and Body Works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm picturing, that feeling. And there's, like, kids Irish dancing for some reason. And, I don't know.
What the fuck? Is this Destiny? Anyway.
I don't know. I just,
yeah.
maybe I had a weird mall experience.
Clearly. We went to the auditorium where we saw a documentary about how climate change isn't real,
no,
actually.
It's not.
It's not. Like...
Yeah.
Sure, temperatures are rising, but actually it's because of water vapor and sunspots.
It's vaping. It's vaping.
All these kids with their waffle lung. And actually, you know, if global warming is real, it's actually good for the planet because then you can grow crops in
Yeah, you
Canada.
can just swim in a pool
You can swim in a
more.
pool,
Kids
cool
love to
down.
swim.
I wrote down a quote from one of the interviewees. Human lives will be saved from warming. More people die from cold than heat.
Oh,
Think
good.
about it.
Is that true? What were the sources on
I
that?
don't know. I don't think there are any
Okay,
sources.
talk to like Chicago.
Right. I was genuinely perplexed because I'm like, okay, so we went through this whole creationist theme park experience. What does that have to do with climate
Okay, what I think they're
denialism?
gonna do though is
Yeah.
every time a new hot button topic emerges after some celebrity starts talking about it, like Al Gore, they're gonna create a new building and they're gonna attach it to it, and you have to like go through and it's gonna just be like a topical nightmare.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just
This
like
is
climate change,
climate change
trans
experience.
people, I don't
Yeah.
know, AI, whatever else is gonna happen.
Stem cells.
Yeah.
Stem cells is a deep cut. I
That was
don't know
kind of
what
a hot
happened to
topic for
that.
like
Yeah.
mid-2000s, I
What was
think.
the problem with stem cells?
I think it's because they can be taken from aborted fetuses or something, which I don't actually know if that was true. I think most
That's.
of them don't come from
Yeah.
that, but this was a whole thing in the mid-2000s, and crazy enough, it was also on an episode of Degrassi where Jimmy slash Drake was gonna get a
Wait,
stem cell.
Drake the rapper gets shot
He
in
gets shot, and
Degrassi.
then in like
Yes.
the last episode he's in some experimental treatment where he's gonna grow one of his legs back with stem cell research. And I was like, wow. And then I just watched that, and
Right.
I went to church school and like asked my teacher about stem cells, and
Right.
they were like mad at me. So
It's again, like, what does creationism have to do with stem
it
cells or
doesn't, but it's
climate
like every like
denialism?
5 years there's gonna be another thing that
Yeah.
like it's gonna be that thing, and they're
Yeah.
just gonna have to build another little like department store,
Right.
and it's just gonna turn into a mall of like
Yeah.
misinformation and topical.
What is connecting this whole mall of like weird topical Christian talking points? Last time I was at my parents' house, I was looking through the books in the basement and I found Grace, this.
Your
I
dad had
have
this.
it. Can you, what is the title here?
Ken Ham was the general editor. It doesn't say he's an author, though.
He does author some chapters.
Okay. The New Answers, Book 4. I can't even tell what this picture is of.
What? Yeah, what? How would you
I
describe
literally can't eat. Like,
it?
this is what happened, like, on the subway. Bowen was, like, looking at an advertisement and was like, what the fuck is that? We had to look at it for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh, I
And
remember
then we were like, I was like,
that,
oh, that's some guy's arm. But you were like,
yeah.
what? And we couldn't make it out. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Some weird image.
Everything is like overlaid in this like sickening like 2006 green. And I think this is Darwin on the left.
What?
Is that?
Oh, or is that God?
That's not God.
Oh, that is
He's wearing a suit
Darwin.
jacket. Why would this be
And
God?
then there.
And then there's a tree with light
Yeah,
going through
but it
it.
looks like a
And
dandelion.
there's a dragon, which this is not the kind of dragon I would expect to see on the cover. This looks like from
That's a
a
terrifying
Disney
dragon.
movie. Yeah. And
Yeah.
then there's like a reptile or
Yeah.
fossil on the other side. I can't believe you thought this was God. They made
I
him smaller than the lizard on the other side of the
It's
page.
Darwin. I
Yeah,
see
this
that.
is
He's just
Darwin.
a bearded white man
Yeah, is
in
that
black and
every
white.
bearded white man is
Sure.
God?
Sorry.
Sure, okay.
Okay. And the subtitle says
Over 30, that's not even a lot. Over 30 questions on creation, evolution, and the Bible. Okay, as a marketing professional,
As a marketing
I think I would
professional.
just say how many questions there were if it's under 100, because over 30 is
But
such a
then what if
weird.
it's a weird what if it's a 37 questions, you'd be
That's
like,
fine.
that's a weird number. That's a
That
weirdly
is a weird number, but
specific
it's weird to say over 30 questions because it sounds like you're trying to
number.
compensate for there not actually being that many
I
questions.
think that's kind of a lot of questions.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't do that personally. I think it. But Ken Ham is a general editor, and
He contributes some
also the
chapters.
font choices, not great,
Not
but you know, we're
great.
not gonna
You know.
park on that.
I bring up this book because this is the, to use your metaphor, the shopping mall of different topical
Love
things.
it.
So, do you want to go to the table of contents and just choose some of the interesting
Okay, I'm
questions
gonna
that you
definitely
find?
just read through this little guy.
Yeah. They, don't read through all over 30 of them, but what seems interesting to you?
Dragons, were they real? Cavemen, really? Oh my god. Have people always been brilliant, or were they originally dumb brutes?
What?
Oh my god, I don't even know what some of this is. Should we be concerned about climate change? What
I don't
about
know.
environmentalism?
What
How
about
big is the
it?
universe?
How about the last one?
Dear atheists, aren't you tired of it all?
Aren't you tired of it, Grace?
I am. Just exhausted.
The thing that all these questions have in common is that they're all indicative. Bad. They're all bad. And they're all indicative of the same worldview.
They were indicative as dick in
it. Oh, shit. I interviewed a biology professor back in 2016 who teaches at a Christian university.
Ooh.
And he made the point that creationism... this professor who teaches evolution, by the way. And he told me that creationism is a shibboleth. If I believe this... I believe everything else that evangelicals believe, and I am on your side. I'm on the side that believes climate change isn't real, abortion is murder, more contemporary examples, COVID is overblown, masks don't work, vaccines will kill people. Again, whatever new right. topical thing, blah, 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 blah. There's no, like, logical connection. The Earth is 6,000 years old, therefore climate change doesn't exist. Like, there's no logical connection there. It's just, like, it's all part of, like, the same nucleus of these right. disparate beliefs.
It's like an acquaintance minefield.
What do you mean?
Where you're, like, meeting somebody. This is what happens when I go back to my hometown and, like, I was at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, kind of, like, walking on the minefield a little, and then... someone will say something and you're like, oh shit, okay, and you're just not gonna talk to them. Like, someone will, like, say the R word or, like, make a weird comment about pronouns. And mm-hmm. you're just like, all right, I'm just gonna avoid that person. It's all a minefield. You're just, like, you're looking for signifiers because people right. are so polarized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like those TikToks you found that where it's, like, testing people out and how cool yeah. they are by being like, hi, I'm Bowen, he, him. And then, like, waiting for their reaction.
Yeah, like, you know? One guy who does those. It's right. so funny.
Yeah, because, like, if you're going to be weird about pronouns, you're also probably going to be weird about climate change.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we, yeah. but we all do it.
Do we? Do what?
I don't know. I just said that. I just made that up.
You made that up. You make a lot of things up.
Oh.
So, the Creation Museum opened in 2007.
Uh-huh.
In 2010.
Good year.
A good year. Answers in Genesis in 2010 announces... the Ark Encounter, which is the full-scale replica of Noah's Ark that mm-hmm. I mentioned at the beginning of episode one, which we will get to.
It.
But the biggest, most famous thing that happens is in 2014, Bill Nye comes to the Creation Museum to debate
God.
Ken Ham.
Did they pay for him to go there? Like,
I
did they pay
they must
his
have,
hotel?
Right?
Did he stay in the Creation Museum?
I don't. Is there a place to stay in the Creation
There's
Museum?
There's probably, like,
I
a dungeon
so.
To represent hell or something. They keep all of their... speakers.
I'm sure they put him up and gave him some sort of speaking
I just
fee.
Wonder if he went through the museum.
I'm sure he did, because later on there's, like, a sequel to that debate where Bill Nye goes through the Ark Encounter with Ken Ham and, like, mm-hmm. basically having a little bit of a rematch. This is a huge deal, and on Answers.tv, which is, like, the weird streaming service that's supposed to be like a Christian Netflix that Answers in Genesis does, there is a hilariously passive-aggressive description of the debate that I want you to read.
Leading creation apologist and best-selling Christian author Ken Ham was joined at the Creation Museum by popular TV personality and evolution apologist Bill Nye. Ham, a former science instructor who emigrated to the USA from Australia, he's really, like, trying to be diverse here,
yeah.
over 25 years ago, was joined by the popular children's program personality, Bill Nye, quotation, the science guy, end mm-hmm. quotation. They said personality twice.
That's bad writing.
Yeah, and Ken Ham is all-knowing because he's an immigrant.
And what is an evolution apologist?
Yeah, well, they like to use the word apologist. Like, apologism or whatever they call it.
Yeah, apologetics.
Apologetics,
I
that's what it was.
I never understood what that was.
It was just, like,
why
knowing all of
that?
The common talking points, like, why would God kill children? Why would God cause cancer? And
is
you're
it
supposed to,
like, debate?
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, know all of the defenses to those common things that people
okay.
rightfully are worried about and or are like, God's probably not real because what God would, like, kill a 3-year-old with leukemia?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be like, well, actually, God creates free will and that child probably chose to have it. You have to, like, know all of the little arguments so that you can, like, run into somebody in the subway line and, like, argue with them about
it's
God.
It's the field of the worst men.
It's like a lot of fedoras and everyone smells like beef jerky and it's just bad.
Yeah. I also really doubt that Bill Nye would describe himself as an evolution apologist.
No, or a program personality. I think he's like a scientist
who
did pretty well on TV. I don't think you'd talk about Mr. Rogers as like a personality.
And it's also like, again, it's immediately setting up this false dichotomy of creation apologist, evolution apologist.
Right.
Both equally valid.
And they're also kind of saying that Ken Ham is not a public personality.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. He's just a science teacher.
He's just a science guy.
The debate was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. The full 2.5 video that Answers in Genesis live streamed.
2.5 what? Label you
2.5
doing?
Hours. Oh, right. Sorry. Very long.
2.5 pickles?
9.3 million views on YouTube. I did not sit through the whole thing. I ran it through a auto transcription service and read through it.
Oh, I wish I did that.
Wait, tell me about your familiarity with
the debate. Did I ever talk about this?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I watched the whole thing 2.5 hours. I probably didn't pay
when
much attention.
When it came out?
What year was it?
2014.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
I remember it coming out because people were like talking about it a lot. And okay. I was involved with this commune, which we'll also get to when we talk about our own testimonies. But there's a commune guy who owned like a reptile, like there was this giant property and I can't even describe it to you, but they had like a zoo with like rare animals, and this guy would like, he ran a very successful reptile thing where he'd go to schools and like put snakes around your neck or whatever, like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But then on the side he also did like anti-evolution seminars where he like talked about, I know a lot about animals and they didn't evolve.
Mm, yeah.
Evolution's... You saying we came from monkeys? That's crazy. That's so I remember he talked about it a lot, and I was like, oh, well, he was talking about it, so I should watch it. And I watched it, and I was like, please give one single argument why any of this makes sense.
Yeah.
I was also taking AP Bio at the time, and I was just like... I remember telling my high school boyfriend at the time on the phone, like, what if, like, God and evolution are a thing, like why can't they? And I remember trying so hard to like think my way into it, believing like the crazy shit, but I just couldn't. And this was like one of my last chances of like, oh, I really want to like critically think about this and what I believe.
Yeah.
And it was just insane.
By the way, it's totally valid to be a Christian and believe in evolution.
Yeah, I know. So. I just also realized eventually I didn't actually believe in God, so.
Yeah, well,
anyway, it doesn't matter.
I am not going to give you a blow-by-blow account of the entire...
I wish that's what was happening.
But...
Can you imagine?
No, they just started kissing. Don't want to. So...
I'm going to write a fanfic about...
Ken Ham, Bill Nye.
XXX.
But, okay, so... I'm going to play three of the most important clips that I found. Okay. Ken Ham's central argument, first off, he plays a bunch of videos of like scientists with PhDs who say like, oh, I believe in creationism, which isn't really an argument. Right. It's like, okay, you have a PhD in civil engineering or whatever. He casts doubt on things like radiometric dating, but, and you mentioned this last time, his fundamental argument is that there is a distinction between what he calls historical science and observational science.
He's like, what you call truth, there's like a different thing that I believe that you can also say is true.
Right.
And it's like, you can't just say that there's a different basis
of truth.
Like, truth is truth.
Yeah. Well,
but not absolutely.
Not according to him.
In this opening statement, I want to concentrate on dealing with the word science. I believe the word science has been hijacked by secularists. Now, what is science? Well, the origin of the word comes from the classical Latin scientia, which means to know. And if you look up a dictionary, it'll say science means state of knowing, knowledge. But there's different types of knowledge, and I believe this is where the confusion lies. There's experimental or observational science, as we call it. That's using the scientific method, observation, measurement, experiment, testing. You see, when we're talking about origins, we're talking about the past. We're talking about our origins. We weren't there. You can't observe that, whether it's molecules to man evolution or whether it's a creation account. When you're talking about the past, we like to call that origins or historical science, knowledge concerning the past. Here at the Creation Museum, we make no apology about the fact that our origins or historical science actually is based upon the biblical account of origins.
What he's saying, historical science.
So stuff that we didn't know, like anything before Ken Ham was born is historical science. So if you haven't actually seen it,
then you can't prove it. That is one of his central arguments.
Okay.
That is like one of their mantras. You weren't there.
You weren't there for 9/11, but you know what happened.
Well, you weren't there, so you don't know if it happened.
It's historical science.
You weren't there.
Challenger didn't explode, though.
No, you weren't there. Historical science is just like another way of saying that, like, we take the Bible as the inerrant word of God and therefore conform everything we see around us to the Bible. Like, that's what it is. It's not science. It's fundamentalism.
The more I think about it, I, like, don't even have a good rebuttal because it's so stupid. Sorry.
Bill Nye actually has a pretty good rebuttal.
I'm looking for explanations of the creation of the world as we know it, based on what I'm going to call science. Not historical science, not observational science. For us in the scientific community, I remind you that when we find an idea that's not tenable, that doesn't work, that doesn't fly, doesn't hold water, whatever idiom you'd like to embrace, we throw it away. We're delighted. That's why I say, if you can find a fossil that has swum between the layers, bring it on. You would change the world. If you could show that somehow the microwave background radiation is not a result of the Big Bang, come on. Write your paper, tear it up. So your view that we're supposed to take your word for this book written centuries ago, translated into American English, is somehow more important than what I can see with my own eyes is an extraordinary claim.
They're not having the same conversation.
No, I think in order to understand the world, the thing you have to do is let your understanding change over time, which I think we mentioned this in the other episode, but evolution as a concept has even changed over time. You know,
right,
it's not like a static thing, but a lot of the biblical interpretations have been static for so long that they've created this like monolithic idea of truth that it's impermeable. Yeah. And we're so far away from it and it's never changed. And the farther we get away from it and when it actually happened, the more we believe that it's impermeable and can never change. It just becomes this iron object you can just throw at anything.
But the thing is, evangelical Christianity isn't ironclad and permanent.
No.
Like, it has changed. It's the result of historical processes.
Like, socioculturally, the evangelical sect has changed and shifted, obviously, over time.
Yeah.
So it's, like, interesting because I'm like, you have this... And different sects have been created, so there are obviously people who are trying to look for things to throw away and create new things. But people who believe that in, like, the absolute interpretation of the Bible don't seem to understand even the history of their own beliefs, you know?
Yeah. It's ahistorical because they're like, this way that we interpret the Bible is the correct way and has been interpreted this way always.
And I'm like, you don't know how people interpreted this.
Right.
1400 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know. There's so many cultural and scientific understandings of the world that you don't possess and you wouldn't know about that somebody from, like, the Middle Ages would have.
Yeah.
That you don't know how that would be. Like, their absolute truth is different from yours.
Right. I think, no, that's exactly right. This thing about change and the willingness to accept change.
Which
because
we've
like,
talked about with the fucking cars.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, I understand because I have a 2013 Volkswagen Beetle.
Which is a pretty good car,
don't dox me, but
they
didn't make any more after that. I'm kind of pissed about it because I need to have this car forever or else I can't get another one.
Oh, they're not making the parts for it anymore?
They stopped making the Beetle. So I'm like I kind of feel like I'm being kind of a Ken Ham. I don't make cars like that anymore. My cars like they did in 2013.
Right. But like when Bill Nye, I love the line of what I'm gonna call science. Not historical science, not observational science. Science.
Yeah, sometimes you don't need an adjective.
True.
It's a creative writing
class. As a writer, yeah. What he's talking about is a willingness to accept change.
Right.
Which Ken Ham and evangelicals are not willing to do.
Ken Ham hates change. I think this all started when he, like, had to use the green plate instead of the blue plate and threw a fit. And this is why he hates evolution, because it is the
process of change.
Process of change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're brilliant.
Thank you.
So, anyway, here's the last clip that I have. This clip is actually not about science. It's about...
Of course.
Interpretation and reading comprehension, which gets to a very crucial point here.
Wait, who's talking in this one?
Ken Ham.
Mr. Ham, a new question. Do you believe the entire Bible is to be taken literally? For example, should people who touch pig skin, I think it says here, be stoned? Can men marry multiple women?
Do I believe the entire Bible should be taken literally? Well, remember in my opening address, I said we have to define our terms. So when people ask that question, say literally, I have to know what that person meant by literally. Now, I would say this. If you say naturally, and that's what you mean by literally, I would say, yes, I take the Bible naturally. What do I mean by that? Well, if it's history, as Genesis is, it's written as typical historical narrative, you take it as history. If it's poetry, as we find in the Psalms, then you take it as poetry. It doesn't mean it doesn't teach truth, but it's not a cosmological account in the sense that Genesis is. There's prophecy in the Bible, and there's literature in the Bible, you know, concerning future events and so on.
I'm picturing him as a really eager reader, and he's like, this is a novel, I'm going to read it as a fucking novel. So, like, if he read, like, historical fiction, he would think
of it as
history.
His brain would explode.
Yeah, I, like, don't... Yeah. I don't really understand this, but I know people have talked about this for a long time. Like, oh, well... I don't know. This is just dumb. I don't know what to say.
It's dumb because he is once again making up a bullshit term and a bullshit distinction.
He's just pulling
between...
the rug under your feet.
Yeah.
In terms of like, we just have to define our terms. And like, anytime someone says that, like, well, what do you mean by?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Murder.
Yeah, and you're like, what do you mean? And like, it's just you see it every day, and they're like, yeah, but can you define it? Because I think, and every time they do that, it's like very alpha male podcast energy. Like,
this is not
terms.
An alpha male podcast, by
no,
the way.
It's not.
No. But like
alpha gay.
Oh shit. Number one, reading a text naturally doesn't mean anything. No one ever has used that term. And also, like, what he's describing is like, oh, you read a text in the genre that it's written, in the way it's intended to be read. Like, that makes total sense.
Yeah, but that has this whole thing about like authorship. We should really get Roland Barthes in here about
I've
the
never
work
read him.
And the text. We did read him for a drama theory class.
Did we? I was not paying attention.
About like what, how much you should implicate the author in the reading of a text too. There's that. There's like cultural and sociocultural things that are superimposed on you that you bring to the, like that's not like a static object. You're constantly interacting with it based on your environment and the author's environment at the time.
Right. But to Ken Ham, it's a static object and there's a static interpretation, which is his interpretation, which is the correct interpretation. That's the debate in a nutshell. What do you think?
I mean, it's bullshit, which everyone knew, but it did garner all of this attention.
It garnered all this attention.
Probably hiked up those ticket prices to $50 in the age of expensive eggs.
It's funny you mention that, because Bill Nye, I will say, I think he made more valid arguments, but Bill Nye was very stupid and very reckless in participating in this debate. For one thing... you had to buy tickets to see the debate, and the Creation Museum got all the revenue for those tickets.
And they probably got so much, like, organic marketing.
Millions and millions of views on YouTube, right? Got a bunch of media attention. I also think debates are stupid and, like, useless and exercises purely an ego and don't convince anyone of anything.
That's
like,
very true.
No one has ever changed their mind based on a debate.
You're just trying to stoke pride in your
side.
Community of people.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But first and foremost, this is reckless and stupid because 23 days after the debate, Ken Ham holds a press conference where he announces that construction of the Ark Encounter, the funding of it, is confirmed, and they got the funding they needed because of interest spurred from the debate.
Oh, God.
I know,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's not surprising, but it's genius marketing timing.
As a marketing professional.
As like a project to get organic interest, that's like a really good thing to do. Like, bring a speaker who everyone would want to hear.
Yeah. This, by the way, is where we actually finally get to the Ark Encounter. So, like I said, in 2010, Answers in Genesis announces that they're beginning construction on the Ark Encounter. Ken Ham isn't actually there for the announcement. He's in Australia. But the governor of Kentucky... Steve Beshear is there. Say it again.
Steve Buscemi?
Steve Beshear. Here's a photo of Steve Beshear.
I wish he lasted longer in The Sopranos.
I know, right? Okay. Steve Beshear.
Oh, God.
Paint a word picture for us, Grace.
Okay. It's like if you gave somebody a canvas and said, draw Joe Biden. And they drew this. And you're like, ah. It's a little uncanny.
Right. Wait, you think he looks like Biden?
He's old and white.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, he looks generic, but uncanny.
Okay.
In the way that Joe Biden does. And that's, I think he looks like one step removed from Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Like he was filtered through an AI to create Joe Biden. It's like a little scary looking.
You put into like the Dolly AI or whatever, yeah. Joe Biden, but off.
There's all these things. I keep bringing up Zooey Deschanel. You know those like matrixes where it's like Zooey Deschanel, Katy Perry. They look exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like Joe Biden, Mike Pence, this man, Anderson Cooper.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
the like white-haired, frosty,
yeah,
political men,
blue-eyed.
Yeah, yes. They all look exactly the same, but yeah. like one level removed from one another.
And here's a clip of Steve Beshear announcing the ARC encounter.
As I indicated earlier, we strengthened the Tourism Act to help us create jobs and attract visitors, which this project clearly will do, and to give a boost to projects that otherwise might not happen. ARC Encounter officials have said from the beginning that the Tourism Act was what brought them to consider Kentucky for this huge investment in the first place. And I would remind you, these incentives are entirely performance-based. They have to perform and meet all of the projections or they don't get the incentives. And we like the way this program is set up. We are eager to work with ARC Encounter officials to make this exciting tourism project happen, and we look forward to its completion. And before I ask some other folks here to say a few words, I want to ask you all to come over and we'll unveil a couple of pictures.
Okay, get ready for
the project.
All right,
picture number one. I definitely went to Walmart the night before to get these poster boards.
Yeah, I'm going to pause it and ask you to describe them.
I can't even see what that is. Is this like a drawing of the Ark?
I think it's supposed to
be. It just looks like a log of shit. I literally can't see any of the details. This okay. is like, not because of the screen, it's because the drawing is bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, it looks like a glorious, happy community where a girl Great. Could dwell with dinosaurs and everyone's happy and drinks from the same pond.
Like a log of shit.
Yeah, right? And then there's just this big log of shit that I'm assuming is the Ark Encounter. It's like a little too long. It doesn't actually look much like a boat.
Noah's Ark was apparently very long. The Tourism Act that the governor mentions. So the arrangement is that Kentucky has a sales tax of like 6%. You know, whatever. If you buy a ticket at the ARC Encounter or a soda or a t-shirt there, 6% of the revenue on that transaction goes to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how sales tax works. The arrangement is that the state government matches every dollar of sales tax that the ARC Encounter generates.
So it's like a 401k.
Matching. Kind of. Actually, yeah, there is a matching up to $1.8 million. So basically...
I wish my 401k was like that.
I know, right. If the ARC Encounter generates $1.8 million in sales tax, which, you know, goes to the Kentucky government, Kentucky then gives the ARC Encounter $1.8 million.
Why would you even do that?
So instead of that sales tax going to the people of Kentucky, it just goes into the ARC Encounter's
so
pocket.
So many... God-induced potholes in Kentucky.
I'm sure the roads are not
good. The roads are horrible. It's like Damascus. Oh, wait, what's the bad one?
What? Gomorrah?
Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah with potholes everywhere.
Because of this stupid arc.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that sucks. And kids are going to learn absolutely nothing.
But the ARC Encounter will be really cool.
They can't
cool.
even do egg drops because eggs are too expensive.
Ah, the eggs, topical. I should also emphasize $1.8 million is like the max. Like, let's say they make $1 million in sales tax. They still get $1 million, right?
That's a lot.
I know.
Do they sell merch?
Yeah, of course. They have a gift shop.
Did you go?
No,
did
I didn't.
Did you buy anything?
We went in 2016, which is before the ARC Encounter opened.
Oh, I really want some merch.
I don't
have
any merch.
You should make fake merch
you.
To get... people to buy that instead of the sales tax
yeah.
creating. Save the people of Kentucky and buy Jesus Wept, Ark Encounter merch.
That's true. Yeah. And we will donate it. We will fill up the potholes
and we'll
of Kentucky.
Just make a bunch of t-shirts and things and like mug koozies, but everything will have like one typo. So it kind of like fucks the credibility of the Ark Encounter too.
Ah, that's a really
It'll be Ark Encounter but with a C instead of a K.
That's really good guerrilla marketing.
Thanks.
As a marketing professional.
As a guerrilla myself.
Obviously, this generates a huge amount of controversy because people are like, what the fuck? Why is the tax not going to the people? Going to this ark? And Answers in Genesis made a post with the headline, taxpayers will not be paying to build the Ark Encounter, where say, quote, we must point out that the tax incentives do not go to the nonprofit Answers in Genesis, but to the for-profit Ark Encounter LLC.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. What do you think? That's it.
Okay. That's not any better. Why would that be any better?
Yeah, that's not really the point.
Yeah, it's
they're
not
part
like,
of the
oh,
same
sorry,
operation.
Your children are going to get fucked and they'll only be able to learn to count on an abacus, but
it's going to the
It's going to the other one that, you know, we also don't care about.
Yeah, the point is that taxpayer money is going to this thing. And the other wrinkle to this is that in 2015, Answers in Genesis files a lawsuit against the government of Kentucky.
Steve Buscemi.
Sorry, Steve Buscemi. You're going to get a worse ending than in season 4. But like, the secretary of the Kentucky Tourism Board withdraws the Ark Encounter's tax incentive. Because he argues that because the Ark Encounter has an explicitly religious mission, it could then engage in discriminatory hiring practices.
Mm, very true.
They could refuse
very
to hire.
Based.
Very based. Because, you know, they could, for example, being
Asian.
A homosexual... not being homosexual is sinful, and therefore, like, we're not going to hire
you.
Can't
be the, like,
museum
barista.
Right, exactly.
That's, like, all... How are you going to find a barista that's not gay?
There's a lot of Kentuckians or whatever. I don't know. And, but, like, you know, obviously it's illegal to engage in this sort of, like, hiring practice. And they're saying, like, taxpayer money can't go to an explicitly discriminatory for-profit business, right?
Or they had just figured that out. Like, couldn't they have figured this out $8 million ago?
In 2015. But then... Ark Encounter files this lawsuit that says to the state government, well, no, you're actually violating our religious freedoms because you're discriminating against us as Christians.
I don't want to make a cake.
Exactly.
You're
not letting us practice our beliefs of hating gay people. We're a privately owned corporation with a religious mission.
I was just going to say, they will be getting no sales tax from the museum cafe because a straight barista will make the shittiest. They won't even know the difference between a cappuccino and a latte.
Guess what? The case went to federal court Ark Encounter won in 2016.
Sorry for the gays.
To this day, they receive that $1.8 million tax incentive, which they get every year, and they continue. Guess what? That guy in the tourism board was right. If you go on their job application page, they make you sign a statement of faith, which of course...
They always do.
It's exactly what you think. I debated whether or not I wanted to read a passage from it out loud because it's exactly what you think, you know? But it's like, all right, this is what the Ark Encounter is, and we should show what the Ark Encounter is.
And also
the Creation
every
Museum.
Christian institution, like this girl from my high school started a... She's like, I opened a coffee shop. And I was like, oh, wow, it's impeccably decorated. And I was, like, following along. Turns out it's a front for a megachurch. And I looked at their, she was, like, posting about hiring. And I looked at the hiring packet. And it was, of course, like, anyone, they kind of said it in soft terminology. But it was, like, anyone who does not adhere in lifestyle. So it's lifestyle.
Yeah.
To Christian faith is not going to be permitted. And then they went on this whole tangent about how it's actually legal for churches to do that.
It is legal.
It is, yeah.
It's the thing. Like, that's like the soft lifestyle counterpart. This is the hard... Here's
hard marketing, yes.
Number 9. We believe that God wonderfully and immutably creates each person as male or female. These two distinct, complementary genders together reflect the image and nature of God. Rejection of one's biological sex is a rejection of the image of God within that person.
Damn.
We believe that God disapproves of and forbids any attempt to alter one's gender by surgery or appearance. There you go.
Neat.
Yeah.
What am I, chopped liver?
There's another about being gay is sinful, abortion right. is murder. Blah,
okay,
blah,
so
blah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how many love story, gay love stories started in between two baristas, and here we are.
Alas,
it's fine.
Not
sorry,
gonna
can't
happen
get
at the Ark
Encounter. Yeah, they're gonna have very dry scale people, with dirty butts.
Yeah.
Working at this place.
And guess what? It's all legal.
Yeah,
it's all
legal.
They won the lawsuit.
Dirty butt.
I was reading the other day about the Supreme Court case where the Christian web designer refused to make wedding websites for same-sex marriages.
They had to add another room to the fucking museum. Me. God damn.
And guess what? With this, the way the Supreme Court is stacked, they're probably going to rule in favor of this homophobic web designer.
Course, yeah.
This is not an isolated trend, is my point.
I can't imagine that web designer being any good, I just have to say.
That's true, yeah. Guess what? This story is basically done at this point. What do you think Ken Ham's salary is in 2020?
Oh, is it public information?
It is.
$400,000.
$247,000.
That's actually not as much as I would have thought.
That is a good point, but...
Do they do mass layoffs?
I am not sure about
probably
that.
Not.
Probably Google that. But that is his salary purely as CEO of Answers in Genesis.
Oh, there's more, isn't there?
Book royalties, speaking engagements.
You also can kind of fuck around with actually reporting your nonprofit salary.
Yeah, that's
true. Like, I think there are ways... I looked up a nonprofit salary that I was looking for to see how I would get paid compared to the CEO, which was very little, but they only reported their bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you probably make way more. I think there are ways to loophole.
Totally.
Out of, like, salary transparency.
That was just from his, like, the IRS filing of his nonprofit.
I'm sure that he makes a lot more than that.
And, again, like they said, there's the for-profit Ark Encounter, which he is, like, an executive at.
And
who knows
what
salary
and
he
doesn't have to report.
No, he doesn't.
It's a private industry,
For-profit,
Cool.
To close out the story with my parents and our visit, before we drove back home from the Creation Museum, we visited Big Bone Lick State Park.
Big Bone Lick?
Big Bone Lick. This is a state park and museum 30 minutes south of the Creation Museum. It's the site of where William Clark, of Lewis and Clark, excavated the fossil of a prehistoric mastodon.
Sorry, I just have to say, this is I always say that when I'm about to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Lewis and Clark just sounds like one of those like 70s soft boy rock bands.
How about Mumford and Sons?
Like Mumford and Sons, Croft and Seals. Literally any Seals and Croft. I don't know why I said that.
Lewis and Clark and
Crosby,
Mumford and Sons.
Stills and Nash, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Any of those people.
Big Bone Lick State Park. Make fun of it. It is considered the birthplace of American paleontology. It's an actual site of
Big
natural
Bone
history.
Big Bone Lick.
And the museum is tiny. When we visited, no one was there, as opposed to the Creation Museum. There's an enclosure with models of, like, woolly mammoths and bison. You can read sign about how bison first came to the area.
Just one sign.
One sign.
You can read sign.
You can read sign that says,
bison.
20,000 years ago, bison came here.
Scandalous.
You go into the museum, it's one room, no other visitors. In the center is that actual mastodon fossil, and you can read about how the ice age began, wait for it, 450 million years ago. Right?
I'm feeling gay relief because this is where the gay teens would work in the summer.
No, that's the problem. No one works there.
Okay, there's one gay teen working
there's
there.
One gay
or
teen
Or one
there.
Really old lady, because that's usually how it is.
And then one sign, one fossil, one room. It's just like, it's too perfect and sad of a metaphor. Like, here's this tiny, underfunded public park and museum that's promoting actual science
that's
and trying
a cooler
to actually
name too.
That's true. It's a pretty cool name. It's actually trying to teach the public actual science. Down the road, there's the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter that charges $45 a ticket, that attracts hundreds of thousands of visitors every year, that receives millions of dollars in taxpayer money every year, that was built with the help of the Kentucky state government to promote this message that is anti-science, anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion, blah, 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 blah. These are our priorities, is my point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good cut.
Yeah. That's the story. What do you think?
I almost don't believe you that you went to this park.
No, it's there. I found it, and I wanted to go there because I was like, this is an interesting point of comparison.
That's your relief.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not relief, it's sad.
Yeah. You know? That's the real thing, though, is that when you think about Christianity and how, like, it's all an ascension,
mm-hmm.
and in reality, when you leave that relief and you just go back to the real world, it's actually quite sad.
It is, yeah. Anyway, would Jesus weep?
I don't know. I think probably. I feel like Jesus is going to have, like, indigestion over this a little bit.
Went through the Ark and carried it.
I think Jesus would be all for, like, public funding and
socialism.
Public institutions and public programs.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I just think based on, like, what I've read in the historical science about Jesus, he would have believed a lot in socialist policy, public funding, all of that. And to see privately owned, even nonprofit, what does that even mean?
Right.
A privately owned giant behemoth institution making all this money and charging all this money over, like, public things that would help everybody.
Yeah.
Including poor people, black people, like, everybody who's underprivileged in the area who probably faces all kinds of shit from the people who go to this stupid museum every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be crying in his soup.
Yeah, he'd be weeping. Jesus be weeping.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening to episode 2 of Jesus Wept.
God.
What do you mean?
Well, what's the point of... Actually, we don't need to end on hope.
Yeah, but... no, we don't. It's kind of sad.
It's all kind of sad.
Jesus be weeping.
Yeah.
All right, that's
it. That means we're weeping, too.
Yeah.
All right. All right. How do we sign this off? And like,
how do we sign this off?
I'm uncomfortable with genuine...
sadness?
With vulnerability.
Yeah. Cunt.
Okay.
All right, see you later,
Bye.
Guys.
Bye.